All right, so Mike Parsons here with WJR digital sports reporter Nick Lundberg. And here we are, Nick. Early January after the postseason, and the Lions don't have any more games until next August in the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, we got used to playoff football in this city for the past 2 years. It's kind of weird that it's not, you know, here. Third time's a charm, I guess.
Yeah, and we were talking before we started rolling here, and we'll get to this a little bit later, about, you know, do we adopt a team from the NFL for the rest of the postseason? We haven't been in this position in a while. It's kind of a bummer to be back at it.
We're not going to talk about my Super Bowl prediction from earlier in the year, but...
No! Oh, I'm going to have to bring that back up. You know what, though? My guess is it's probably not... it's probably in lockstep with a lot of other people.
Yeah, from that point of time, at least. But... I do. I always tend to have a bandwagon team in the AFC. I never really can find myself rooting for anybody in the NFC, especially from the NFC North, but that goes without saying.
Right.
But I do like Buffalo. I always have. I like their fans, even though they can be a little bit too rowdy for me at sometimes. I like Josh Allen. I think he's very talented. Obviously, this year has been a little bit up and down for them, but I still, with the way the NFL looks this year, I mean, honestly, anybody can win.
Yeah, we'll get back to that a little bit, because I got a lot to say about Buffalo. I like Buffalo, but they're kind of wearing on me. But before we get to that, of course, the big news of the day, not a huge surprise, obviously. It's the shoe that we've been waiting to drop. John Morton fired as the offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions. And like I said, Nick, this is not a surprise. It was just it was a matter of when, not if.
Yeah, I was talking on All Talk with Kevin Dietz this morning about kind of how the writing for him was on the wall midseason when Dan Campbell took over as play caller. The offense did take a jump when Dan Campbell took over that spot. But obviously the way the other injuries were playing out and the defense, like the team wasn't clicking like it was in the beginning of the season.
Right. Well, I think what happened was that, you know, the term you've been hearing with all these coaching hirings and firings this past week is CEO of the team, right? That's the new buzz term. And, you know, there are a lot of head coaches that do call plays, but Dan Campbell, his strength seems to lie in being the CEO of the team. I mean, he'd be a hell of an offensive coordinator, but he's the head coach. And I think when he took over the play calling, number one, I forgot about this, but the Lions were actually two games over 500 with Morton calling the plays. They were like, what, 5-3, and they were 4-5 with Dan Campbell. But I feel like kind of the regression, the step backwards that the defense took and Calvin Shepard took was directly tied to Dan Campbell taking over the offensive play calling, because he wasn't able to oversee the whole team like he would if his offensive coordinator was still calling plays and was spread a little too thin.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point. You kind of saw when he took over, I'm not sure exactly what the stats would be, but it seemed like when you would watch the Lions after Campbell took over the plays, you know, there was a lot of unnecessary penalties that were happening. And, you know, over the last 2 years, you got accustomed to both sides of the ball being clean. Mm-hmm. And obviously injuries play their own part on the defensive side with the safeties and, you know, the injuries on the defensive line the whole season, all season long.
Seasons now for the defensive line.
Exactly. But it seems like they just weren't as sharp as they would have been if Dan Campbell didn't have enough, as much on his plate, like you said.
Before we get into who's out there and who'd we'd like to see take over the reins from John Morton, At the time of this recording, the future of Calvin Shepard remains to be seen. He didn't seem to be quite on the hot seat as much as John Morton, but at least amongst fans, there was some questions. There's been some questions about his future. Do you think we need to go with a new defensive coordinator as well?
I think for now, the right move is to stick with him just because of, you know, like we mentioned earlier, that Kirby Joseph and Brian Branch, losing them, Kirby, his knee for the rest of his football career doesn't look like it'll ever be the same.
Right, and he might not be the same.
Exactly. And Brian Branch tore his Achilles, and he's coming up on that contract extension year. Who knows what he's going to look like next year? So those are two huge pieces that were gone. Hutch and McNeil kind of, Hutch had a good season, McNeil not so much, and they're still kind of, you know, getting back to their 100% where they were before they were their, you know, individual injuries. And then you've got guys who are who just didn't show up this year, like DJ Reader, Alex Anzalone is probably gone, Amik Robertson, some of these players. Terrion Arnold was injured. DJ Reed was out for a while. It's just like a lot of these things kind of just stacked up on each other. And for a first-year defensive coordinator, that's, you know, a tall task to kind of have an elite group with all of those certain circumstances.
Well, the Lions need a shaman because there's, you know, they need a shaman to keep them healthy because there's a lot of people saying we need to address this group. We need to address this group. Let's take the secondary. I mean, that is a group that Brad Holmes has addressed. He built a hell of a secondary. They just all got injured.
Yep.
And I'm so torn on Kelvin Shepard because I like him. I like Kelvin Shepard. I thought after that Tampa game, Kelvin Shepard was the coordinator find of the season because two teams whose seasons went south after that. Remember, Baker Mayfield came in here. People were saying he looked like an MVP candidate. It looked like much like the Lions, the Buccaneers were cruising into the playoffs. And with an entire backup secondary, the Lions held Baker Mayfield, who was hot at the time, to what, 9 points?
And the Legion of Whom, as they like to call it.
And so after that, I'm like, all right, we're fine. You know, Aaron Glenn, you know, don't come back when the Jets let you go after next season. But and I actually feel like Kelvin Shepard could be a very good defensive coordinator in this league. And I don't think that the Lions window is closed. I think it's closing. I don't think it's as open as it was the last 2 years, but I don't think it's closed. So do we want to gamble another year or two with that in that window with a defensive coordinator that may or may not end up being good with, you know, more guidance and more oversight from the head coach? Or do we want to go out and find a guy who's it's never a sure thing, but a guy with a more proven track record? And that's where I am with Kelvin Shepard.
Yeah, Shepard, I mean, it's hard for the amount of, the thing for me is the biggest thing with him is his energy. I really liked, you know, the way he's able to hype up his players. And I think Glenn also went through kind of the same struggles in his first season as defensive coordinator. He didn't have as much talent per se as Shepard has, but the lack of adjustments seemed to hurt him this year, especially with all of the man coverage they have played and the lack of, you know, pass rush they were able to generate, which led to, you know, a lot of these high scoring, you know, games given up like the Rams game. Mm-hmm. And I just think that Shepard, if he gets one more year under his belt, some of these, you know, McNeil and Hutch kind of, you know, get back to 100%. And, you know, this is a big offseason for Brad Holmes. His last two drafts haven't been great. There are, you know, guys are going to be leaving. There are going to be, you know, spots on the team to fill. And depending on who they fill those spots with, whether it be rookies or free agents,
right,
that'll really kind of determine, you know, whether Shepard, you know, should be confident in, you know, his job security or whether he really feels like he needs to take a step up from this year.
Well, and you're talking about getting his guys hyped up to play and ready. You know, that's exactly what I saw in that Tampa game. And but he wasn't able to do it consistently. And I would like him to be able to do that consistently. And I almost feel like he was better at doing that with the Legion of Whom than with a lot of the starters.
Yeah.
So let's look at some of the guys that are out there. Who we would like to see and who we don't want to see. Mike McCarthy, I don't think that's realistic. He's getting head coaching interviews.
Yeah, or he's just going to stay on the Pat McAfee show and continue to be his best friend on there.
Oh, is he the new Aaron Rodgers? Yeah. I haven't kept up with Pat McAfee.
Pretty close, yeah.
I mean, here's the thing, and of course we're in the business. You know, like a guy like Jason Garrett or not Gruden because he took a different path, but a guy like Jason Garrett, who, you know, he's on Saturday Night Football now. He's got this great analyst gig. I think I saw he's interviewing with the Titans. What? I don't know. I feel like why would you ever leave a nice studio gig for a head coaching gig? But that's probably why their head coach, you know, their coaches and coordinators, they're wired that way, and I'm not.
Yeah, they're definitely, if you go from, you know, coaching, you know, in the NFL at the top of your game to, you know, being more on the broadcast side where it's, you know, you're less involved. And obviously these guys, it's been their whole life. So that it feels like, you know, they're always itching to kind of come back unless they actually can't.
Yeah, and it's probably that competitive streak too, which I don't really have. So it's probably factors into it. All right. So, you know what? I've been keeping my eye on Mike McDaniel. I thought Mike McDaniel was going to be available. It seems like for now the Dolphins are keeping him, but you know, I'm kind of thinking like, don't look for someone to promote. Like I said, I'm very skittish this year about losing time in this window. I want them to go with someone who's got a proven track record. So I'm looking at head coaches that flamed out but were really good coordinators. And so that's why I'm thinking, you know, Mike McDaniel, but it doesn't seem like he's going to be let go. Brian Daboll, his name kind of seems like mud right now, so maybe that might be easier to go get him. He's got Jackson Dart, but, you know, he won with Daniel Jones, and Daniel Jones is kind of like Jared Goff, not a very mobile guy.
Yeah, there are definitely, I mean, we saw it. There are so many options out there at this point, less probably offensively than defensively with this cycle coming up. But I'm with you. I think they need, we talked about this before we recorded this, that, you know, you're more interested in the play calling type of coordinator rather than, you know, somebody who kind of just goes under Campbell.
Right.
And I agree with you, but I also think that just the amount of success that Campbell had, if you can find somebody who just helps him out in those areas that, you know, maybe he might have overlooked when John Morton, you know, kind of was downgraded. If you can get someone like you mentioned, like the CEO type.
Right.
Maybe not a CEO, but, a vice president
kind of
thing.
Yeah, like a good assistant head coach.
Exactly.
Well, and that's interesting because I'm an idiot. So I just, you know, I'm following the crowd. But I do believe that Dan Campbell needs someone else to take the play calling. You're kind of going the opposite. Because, you know, the offense wasn't terrible under Dan Campbell. It was the other things that were suffering. You're thinking, hey, maybe keep Dan Campbell on the play calling and get a guy who'd be like a second set of eyes to kind of tighten, or as he says, clean some things up that he might not be able to see if he's busy with play calling.
Exactly. And I feel like, you know, we've seen coaches in the NFL, like successful head coaches, do that, have that, you know, kind of layout where, you know, they're still in charge of, you know, what plays are being ran on the field, but they've got, you know, a good enough staff behind them to really help them, you know, clean up everything that they might miss.
So then it's interesting you say this because I was thinking, what if we poach Eric Bieniemy from the Bears? I think he's their running backs coaches, but I thought, well, no, I guess he didn't call plays in Kansas City, but going by kind of what you're thinking, maybe Bieniemy might be a good choice for that.
Yeah, that definitely wouldn't be a bad option, considering, you know, the jump the Bears made, especially in the run game. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we know Ben Johnson is very creative with his, you know, schemes on offense. He uses motions very well. DeAndre Swift is, you know, has talent. We know that from his time in Detroit.
Right.
And Kyle Manungai, talented rookie, kind of went under the radar. He's had a good season. And they upgraded that offensive line, which is what I think the Lions should be looking to do in free agency and the draft. Yeah. And so if you kind of follow that, you know, kind of what the Bears did last offseason to kind of fix the issues you have right now, I think Bieniemy wouldn't be a bad pick considering, you know, the success they had from last year to this year.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I mean, right now, Bieniemy, he's a positions coach. I'm sure he'd love another shot to be a coordinator.
Definitely.
And here's the thing. I mean, none of these guys are probably going to end up being our new offensive coordinator. It's fun to kind of play fantasy GM or head coach or whoever's job it is to make those decisions. But look, I mean, there's a list of guys from coordinators with other teams to position coaches. And, you know, much like Kyle Whittingham, we're probably talking about all these guys and it's going to be none of them. Right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, let's go through who we don't want to see get the job. a couple names that have been floating out there. David Blau, former backup quarterback here on the Lions. Seemed like a good guy, seemed like a good culture guy. I wouldn't mind seeing him being hired on the staff, but not as a coordinator yet.
Yeah, and I feel like that would just be a huge jump considering, you know, his young career. Obviously, he's familiar with the team. I mean, John Morton was familiar with the team, and we saw how that kind of played out.
Right.
And David Blau, you know, worked in Washington last year, and they've had a weird offseason so far. So who's to say if, you know, he was let go or wanted to leave because of the circumstances, or that, you know, his performance might not have been to the point where, you know, his staff and his employees and his bosses wanted it to be. So I just feel like that would kind of be a vanilla move. I wouldn't say I would hate if he was offensive coordinator. I don't think he's ready for that position.
Right. He'd be a project. And like I said, I'm not willing to spend a couple of years on a project right now with this window that we're in.
Yeah, I agree with that. When you've got, you know, these contracts that, you know, are starting to kick in with St. Brown and Sewell and Aiden Hutchinson and Jared Goff and all of the, you know, you've got to take advantage and capitalize of, you know, the talent they have on the team right now.
One name that's going around I absolutely do not want to see being hired is Cliff Kingsbury, who, interestingly enough, David Blau worked under last season. And look, the reason I don't like the thought of Cliff Kingsbury becoming the offensive coordinator here in Detroit is because I feel like he's unproven at multiple levels. I mean, he got the job with the Cardinals because of how good Patrick Mahomes was, not even in college, in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, the Cardinals said, oh, well, Kyler Murray, he could be one of these mobile playmaking quarterbacks, which is what Patrick Mahomes was back then. Oh, Cliff Kingsbury coached him at Texas Tech, and that's how he got the job. And he doesn't have a great record as a head coach or a coordinator in college or the NFL. I just feel like Cliff Kingsbury, he's been handed a lot of things but hasn't really proven himself.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I also think that he has a tendency to create PR troubles. I think that is a pretty underrated thing when you're considering like bringing in some new people. I think the coaching staffs and all across Detroit sports are familiar with, you know, they want to be careful with that because they don't want to create this kind of, you know, a storm.
Right. Well, they're huge on culture, especially in Detroit. I mean, that's what everyone credits Dan Campbell with the turnaround being he fixed the culture.
Exactly. And if let's say, who's to say we have another year like this year, next year with under a Cliff Kingsbury offensive coordinator.
Try to say it 10 times fast, by the way. That's just a tongue twister.
And at that point, I mean, there's been times in the past, I remember there was a story like he basically bailed on, I believe he was still in his job. I think he was in the NFL, but he went to like Taiwan for like 2 weeks. He went overseas to like block out everything and then came back and then like.
That sounds very Aaron Rodgers-esque.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I just don't think, you know, Detroit sports teams in general need that type of personality.
Yeah, I mean, we're blue collar, no BS people here, and stuff like that will not ingratiate you with the fans. All right, so this past season, 9-8, you know, we're throwing out all these stats to make ourselves feel better about ourselves. Like the first time we had what, 3 or 4 winning seasons in a row since the 50s, which is all very nice. You know, we beat the Bears twice. Dan Campbell, quote unquote, owns Ben Johnson. But to be honest, I would take being 0-2 to the Bears and making the playoffs over missing the playoffs and being 2-0 with the Bears against the Bears. Do you think that this is the closing of the window or just a bad season?
I think it's just a bad season. It's interesting because you've got kind of two different eras of the team kind of coming together when that magical 15-2 run. You've had, you know, all of Bob Quinn's, you know, good draft picks still hanging around. Taylor Decker, Frank Ragnow, these kind of this old guard of guys kind of, you know, making their way out at this point. And now you're finally you've got every single person basically from Brad Holmes' tenure kind of on the team now, and you're kind of dealing with that kind of shift, at least on the offensive line, without Ragnow this year, without Zeitler, you lose Ben Johnson. And I think if you just supplement these areas, because the team is based off of running the ball, and at least after the Dallas Cowboys game, they could not, you couldn't run it up the middle with either Gibbs or Montgomery,
right,
and they would get 2 yards. And that creates basically the play action, which creates
right.
all the explosive plays that we all know and love from the Lions. And I think if you just kind of focus in on, you know, being able to getting back to your identity of running the ball up the middle and going back to, obviously, like we mentioned before, Hutch kind of, you know, getting his legs back under him next year, hopefully 100%. And then you add somebody to kind of help him out. I think that could really, really benefit, you know, some of the areas that, you know, the team struggled in this year.
Yeah. And I mean, we've been hearing the clip since the Lions were eliminated from the playoffs. Dan Campbell back in the NFC Championship game against the 49ers, saying something along the lines with, that might have been our only shot. I don't think it's our only shot, but it might have been our only shot. And I would point to the team that we lost to as an example of, hopefully this is just a bad season and not, you know, a bad side of things to come. The 49ers, they made the Super Bowl that year. They lost. The next season, they missed the playoffs at 6-11. Yeah, 6-11. I just want to make sure. 16 or 17 games. And now they almost had the number one seed in the NFC, and they're going back to the playoffs. I mean, I can only imagine what listening to sports talk radio in San Francisco was like in the 2024 season. So, I don't know what happened to the 49ers in the 2024 season, but they got back together. And they made a run in the NFC West, and they would have won any other division if other than the NFC West. So I would point to the 49ers and say, let's not panic just yet.
Yeah, I believe, obviously, I think coaches are harder to replace than players. Mm-hmm. And like looking, at least in the history of the Detroit Lions, Dan Campbell at this point is probably one of, if not the best coaches in franchise history at this point.
Yeah, I would say so.
And him and Brad Holmes are the one who built a 15-2 team.
Right.
And most of those guys are still there. So obviously mistakes have been made. Like they deserve their fair share of criticism. They're not perfect. No one's perfect. But we've seen teams like you just mentioned, the 49ers, have crazy good seasons and then fall off a cliff the next year and then bounce back.
Right.
And because they have their same kind of core, that group, they just, you know, supplemented the mistakes that, you know, they saw in that losing season. And we could go back to what the Eagles. I mean, the Eagles won the Super Bowl. They had a couple down years. They were back in the playoffs. They had another down year. And then they won the Super Bowl last year.
Right.
And it was kind of that same thing. They kind of made that, you know, jump where they added some extra guys. They had a really good draft. And if Brad Holmes could kind of set himself up in that similar situation if he gets this offseason correct.
Now, and I'm glad you brought that up. And we've been alluding to it throughout the pod today. But let's drill down into what we think the biggest priorities are for this offseason. All right. Obviously, a coordinator. I mean, that was a priority before they fired John Martin. And obviously, it's a priority now. You know, I would say probably on the field, I think this season proved that your most important position group is your offensive line. Last year, when just about our whole defense was injured, our offensive line was mostly healthy. We still went 15-2 and won the division. I feel like Decker is going to retire.
Same.
I mean, you probably saw the same social media videos I saw last Sunday. He sounded like he was a guy who knew this was it.
He looks like a guy who's done.
And then he came out and said what he has to go through on game day just to be able, it's like, I'm almost like, bro, for your long-term health, like just retire. And are we Are we finally moving on from the Ragnow thing?
You have to. After that whole, you know, situation when he was coming back and then he was not, he didn't know he had a torn hamstring. I don't know how that's possible.
Yeah.
But if you got to bury that. I feel like you have to move on from Graham Glasgow. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, a good part as an offensive guard next to Ragnow and Zeitler last year. But this year, obviously, him leading the charge wasn't it. Ratledge had an okay season. He's still, you know, learning the position as a rookie.
And he could be a depth guy.
Exactly. And he still has to work on pass protection, but in the run game, he looks pretty solid throughout the season. But, yeah, I mean, you've got to get...
So the entire line except for Penei Sewell.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, Ratledge, I will give grace to. I think he has a bright future. Mahogany, if you get a stud, my dream, we can get to this in a minute, but my dream offseason signing, plenty of Lions fans I'm certain, is Tyler Linderbaum, the Ravens center.
Mm-hmm.
And even he's going to cost a pretty penny, but with the restructuring you could do of contracts, I think you can make it work. But if you put a guy like him next to Mahogany and Ratledge, I think those two really could develop from that.
Well, and I think, you know, with the center being the anchor of your offensive line, I think you do need some kind of veteran leadership.
Definitely.
Yeah, and if he's a Pro Bowl caliber center, all the better. But, yeah, we definitely need to move on from the Frank Ragnow thing. Because even if he does come back, you retired for a reason. I mean, you know, you come back, even if you're healthy, you're going to still have that same fire that you had before you retired. And plus, you've been out for an entire season. How long is it going to take to get you back in game shape?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm with you. Veteran, high caliber center, if it's Tyler Linderbaum or somebody else. But yeah, I think, look, I think you can get away with rookies elsewhere on your offensive line, but that center needs to be somebody who's been there before.
Yeah, I definitely think they should prioritize that. I think you need to draft an offensive tackle if Decker, especially if Decker retires. Yeah. You need to look at defensive end because Hutchinson didn't have much help
right
on the other side of the defensive line. You need to look at, you know, replacing guys like Alex Anzalone, Amik Robertson, David Montgomery, who aren't going to be who aren't going to be back next year.
Yeah, I mean, you feel like Montgomery has been leaving town for a while, and not because of anything he's done. They just stopped using him.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't necessarily blame the coaches for the way they handled that, just because of we saw what it looked like when they tried to use him, and it just nothing happened.
Right, and then he's posting cryptic social media, but man,
and he's getting paid basically an average starting NFL running back salary to be basically the backup to Jahmyr Gibbs at this point.
Right. Well, and here's the other thing, too. I agree with you. Hutch needs help on the other side of the line. And to be honest with you, we probably have to look at safety because
definitely
we don't know what kind of, player, I'm going to say Terrion Arnold, Kirby Joseph is going to be when he comes back. Hell, a torn Achilles, Brian Branch, who knows, what he's going to look like when he comes back.
Exactly.
So it really sucks because we had two all-pro safeties, and now they're both a big question mark.
I think a sleeper signing I would really like the Lions to make is to bring back Fatu Melifonwu. He's familiar with the team. He was a big play guy. Like he forced fumbles, big hits, got interceptions when he was on the team, and left town because of the emergence of Brian Branch and Kirby Joseph.
Yeah.
And now that if you could bring him back with that familiarity he already has, and you know, if he can return to how he was playing before he left the Lions, and you get Kirby back next year at the start of next year, hopefully, you know, and he is, you know, plays like we've seen him play, maybe not to 100% of where he was in his, you know, in his prime years, especially because we're not sure what his knee really is going through right now.
Right.
So hopefully that he can be at least like 80% of the player he was last year before, you know, this whole injury thing happened. But if you can get him back, I think that would really help, especially when Branch kind of, you can ease him in, and because you've got somebody with familiarity that you trust especially coming off a torn Achilles.
And we just need to draft high-quality backups at literally every position.
Except receiver.
Yeah, except receiver. Because I don't think there's any room for a shaman or a witch doctor on the Lions payroll. But yeah, and here's the thing. I know good teams, you're never supposed to blame injuries. And I know that the 49ers have lost the most game minutes or whatever to injury, kind of like the Lions last year. But it's just after a while, it's like, man, like we can't catch a break.
Yeah. And I've never seen anything like it's never been this bad. I mean, I feel like people every year they say that injuries are getting worse and worse in the NFL. I don't think that's true in regards to the whole league. But if you take a look at just the Lions,
yeah.
I mean, obviously last year was different than this year, but these past 3 years have just been like, man, you have to find a way to just not have your best players on the field when
right.
it matters most.
Yeah. Elsewhere in the NFL, I got to say, John Harbaugh's got to be feeling pretty good about himself. He was fired by Baltimore after missing the playoffs on that missed field goal. I feel like that game, Tomlin and Harbaugh were coaching for both the division and their jobs. I still think Tomlin might be out in Pittsburgh if they lose in the wild card.
Yeah, round. It's kind of like that Whittingham situation in Utah where he just wins forever, but he never really hasn't won anything meaningful in a while.
Yeah.
So
which look, I we're going to talk about adopting teams in a little bit. I wouldn't mind the Steelers making a run, even though they've got Aaron Rodgers, just because, you know, I like Mike Tomlin. I would like to see him get have some playoff success and maybe get into the echelon of coaches who won multiple Super Bowls. But John Harbaugh, of course, fired by the Baltimore Ravens. And I guess within 45 minutes, his agent received phone calls from 7 NFL teams. But there's only 6 that have openings. So somebody is calling, you know, saying, you know, John, if you came here, we could get rid of our coach. My guess is that team's the Dolphins.
Ooh, you want to hear mine?
Yeah.
The Chargers.
Really?
Yeah.
What a plot twist that would be. Tell me more about that, because the Chargers are in the playoffs.
This is all just speculation.
Right.
But, I mean, I know the Harbaughs are very competitive,
yeah.
you know, when it comes to beating each other. But at this point, it feels like both of them are kind of in the limelight of their coaching career.
Mm-hmm.
Why not want to, you know, come together and finish out, you know, the family tree, as they might want to call it?
Oh, so you're saying they would join forces. John Harbaugh wouldn't replace Jim Harbaugh.
No, not replace. Not
John
replace.
Harbaugh would be like the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, because okay. I'm not sure if he's going to get a head coaching job somewhere else, which that he would probably take that over
yeah.
an offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator position with the Chargers. But I just think that would be kind of an interesting twist.
That would be, actually. And then, you know, for the rest of their lives, John Harbaugh could be like, yeah, Jim, you won a Super Bowl, but you needed my help, and I won a Super Bowl, and I actually beat you in the Super Bowl. So, that you know what? That would actually be very, very interesting, but... Yeah, I feel like...
That's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, no, I feel like the 7th team was probably the Dolphins. I mentioned, you know, Mike McDaniel earlier on, and I think they've got, like, 1 foot out the door with him. Like, they're not quite ready to commit. If I were Jerry Jones, and I were 95 years old trying to win a Super Bowl before I meet my maker, I would be that 7th team. Calling.
Yeah, and I feel like the Dolphins, like, your guess is probably the correct guess, just because of, I believe they still are looking for their GM, and obviously once you hire a GM, you're not sure if he's going to want to clean house
right.
or keep, you know, certain people around, so I feel like they're kind of just preparing for, you know, anything to happen at this point.
So, yeah, speaking of adopting teams for the playoffs... And it sucks that we're kind of back here as a fan base having to do this again. But we are. Are you like, screw them, I hope they can all lose? Or is there someone that you're going to jump on the bandwagon for temporarily?
I will not be rooting for any NFC team, I think. If I were to pick one, it would probably be Seattle. And I think a lot of people are, you know, picking them to go to the Super Bowl, which I don't hate that pick at all. Their defense is absolutely insane.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that like I said earlier, I love the Bills. I love the way Josh Allen plays. I think this year he finally doesn't have to face Mahomes, finally doesn't have to face Lamar, even though he didn't really have a problem with that. And I know Denver's defense is obviously very strong, but and the Patriots, you know, they look good, but their schedule wasn't great this year. So it's hard to say with a, you know, a younger quarterback. But I really think that the Bills, you know, they have a solid team. They're not as good as in years past, but with Josh Allen and, you know, with their coach and, you know, with how wide open the NFL is at this point, I think that they're my AFC team.
I'm ambivalent on most of these teams. I like Josh Allen. I feel like he's getting dangerously close to Justin Herbert territory. I will say I think Josh Allen is better than Justin Herbert. I feel like Justin Herbert is like the Dak Prescott of the AFC. Everyone tells me how great they are, and they're good. I don't see it. I have seen times when Josh Allen has been great, but I feel like he's kind of becoming a media darling. Well, he's past the point of becoming a media darling.
Yeah.
So, obviously, you and I are in agreement. Screw the Bears, screw the Packers.
Of course.
Here's the thing. New England, your fan base had to suffer for like 6 years. You can be bad for another couple
of decades.
Yeah,
they don't deserve it yet.
Yeah. Like I said, in the AFC, I wouldn't, even though Aaron Rodgers is his quarterback, I wouldn't mind seeing Mike Tomlin kind of get that burden off of his back of not being a very good playoff coach. I actually am rooting for Liam Cohen. I thought that dude was going to go 5-12 after that awkward Duval at his opening press conference. But, you know, like Liam Cohen, he can go on like a Belichickian run and, you know, win 10 Super Bowls in 20 years. And on his way out of town, people are like, I knew he sucked back at the best conference.
Yeah. I like Jacksonville. I liked them when they made the AFC Championship against Brady back in the day with Saxonville.
Yeah.
And Blake Bortles. But I think another sleeper team I have, even though they can't really score much points, is the Texans, just because that defense is the best in the league.
And honestly, I mean, they're 12-5. I forgot they existed this season, but that's probably more the network's and the league's fault than anyone else's. Here's the thing. Philadelphia, they're such a frustrating team because they're 11-6, they're good, but it seems like they win more when their offense is anemic. And, yeah. You know, at the end of that Jacksonville, I'm sorry, the Buffalo-Philadelphia game, where was it, like 10-13 or 16-10 or something? I forgot who was broadcasting, but their team said, the broadcast crew said, oh, we might be seeing this game again in February. I'm like, please don't. I cannot watch a defensive battle in the Super Bowl. It would be cool, I guess, to see San Francisco win it at home, even though it won't be a home game. There'll be very little actual football fans at the Super Bowl. There barely ever is. But it'd be cool to see somebody win it on there.
The streets would be crazy.
Yeah, it would be. Now, let me ask you this. Matthew Stafford won his second Super Bowl. Would you be happy for him or bitter?
I mean, I wouldn't be mad about it. I wouldn't be bitter just because, like, at this point, he's so far removed from the team. Yeah. I'm just like, I've kind of lost interest in that kind of narrative. I like the Rams as a team. I'm appreciative of his time in Detroit. Yeah. And obviously both teams, the Rams more so probably won the trade than the Lions, but the Lions obviously
at this point, yes.
The Lions still, you know, got a lot of good out of it.
Right.
But I'm not going to go out of my way to root for him. So
I mean, here's the thing. I'd be happy to see Matt Stafford win the MVP. To cement his spot in the Hall of Fame, which I think he's going to anyway. I wouldn't be unhappy for Matthew Stafford winning a second Super Bowl, but Sean McVay can go to hell. I mean, just the way, and I thought this even before Jared Goff was our quarterback. I thought the way he handled Jared Goff's last season was just terrible. I mean, coaches are not supposed to throw their guys under the bus. They're supposed to give you empty responses. That was on me. I felt like he could not wait to blame Jared Goff for that season.
Yeah, he definitely shoved him out of L.A.
And threw him under the bus, too.
Yeah.
So I'd be happy-ish for Matthew Stafford. I'd be ambivalent about Matthew Stafford, but I don't want to see Sean McVay.
I agree.
Win another Super Bowl. All right, so now for the college football playoff here, I mean, this...
I've got my team.
Go ahead. I've got a case for all of them.
The Lane Kiffin, you know, those boys, the Ole Miss. They've been
handed such a raw deal.
I want them to win it all so bad. And our guy Trinidad Chambliss, from Grand Rapids, from Ferris State. I love the way he plays. I'd love to see him in a Lions uniform. It's probably not going to happen. He's too good at this point. But well, they're rolling right now.
Well, and the thing is too. I mean, he was at Media Day the other day, and he just has been handling this whole situation with such leadership and poise. I'm just impressed with him as a human being. And look, you got to feel for those kids, and even the coaches who are staying behind, like your Charlie Weiss Juniors, who had to take a day out of game prepping because they had to go be with Lane Kiffin at LSU for National Signing Day or the Portal Day. I'm sorry. Here's the thing. Oregon needs to fire Dan Lanning because we need him as commissioner of college football. I mean, did you hear this plan that he came up with? And it's so simple. It's so simple that the powers of be should have came up with this a long time ago. Did you hear what he said should be done with the playoff?
I believe so.
Yeah, he said that, number one, the NFL can go to hell. Every Saturday in December should be a playoff round.
I agree with that.
All the rounds except for, I don't know if he said the final four or the championship, but they should all be played at the higher seeds home stadium.
I agree.
Which the one thing I do like about the new college football format are those home games. I think those are really, really cool. And then play the national championship on January 1st. So this whole debacle that we're seeing.
Play it at the Rose Bowl, I think.
Yeah, that'd be fine. I wouldn't be mad at that. But have this thing wrapped up by January 1st. So January 2nd isn't a big cluster like we're seeing.
Yeah, especially with the portal and everything.
Yeah.
It's just college sports in general is a mess. And I mean, I like all of those points he makes. And I don't know if you listened to John Calipari talk about the college basketball side of things.
No.
But he had some interesting points to make about, you know, guys, you know, not who have played in the G League and overseas, you know, being able
to... they come back, don't they?
Now they're coming back.
Yeah.
And he had a lot to say about that and a lot of good things to say, but I like, you know, all of those points that you make with him.
Yeah. And so look, Ole Miss, I think everyone's kind of rooting for them. Look, Indiana, I love Kurt Cignetti. I mean, I love a guy who is dominating and having absolutely no fun. Like, that's what I want. That's what I want for the guy to run my team. You know, Mendoza's a hell of a lot of fun to watch. There's something off about him. Like, I feel like he takes his helmet off and he looks at the camera and he smiles and he says, eat your vitamins, take your vegetables. I almost feel like when he talks, he practices in front of a mirror and he's not quite there yet.
Yeah, I think that's just his, like, honestly, some people are like that.
Yeah.
Like, personality wise.
And I don't think it makes him a bad guy. There's just something that seems very rehearsed about him.
I can see that, but I kind of disagree with you. I think that he's
most people do.
I think that he's being genuine. I have heard a lot of people say, even on, like you said, we mentioned before, the Pat McAfee show, mm-hmm. they were kind of alluding to him, you know, kind of sounding robotic and like,
yeah,
but like that kind of thing. But I really just think that's kind of how he's wired. Like, all he knows is football.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, I think he's hiding some dog in him, because when he's doing interviews, like I said, he's looking at the camera, he's smiling, you know, take your vegetables, eat your vitamins, or the other way around. And then out on the field, if you look at him through his helmet, he's got fire in his eyes. And
yeah.
So I feel like, you know, maybe there's something a little unsettling to me about a guy who could turn it on and off like that. Again, doesn't make him a bad guy. He's a great quarterback, but there's just something about him that, I don't know, I can't put my finger on. And then, of course, I became a big Dan Lanning fan this week. And, you know, you got Dante Moore playing quarterback.
Detroit native, by the way.
went to Martin Luther King Jr. High School.
Yep, just down the street.
Yeah. So those are my cases for these three teams to root for. Miami is the least compelling. I just hope that if they continue to progress, Michael Irvin. And my favorite team in the 90s were the Cowboys. I love the playmaker. But stop making a spectacle of yourself, man. You're taken away from the kids.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it seems like he's doing a little bit too much at this point.
Yeah, the whole whipping with the belt, man. It's just it reminds me of this biopic I watched of the Jackson kids, and their dad was an abusive. It's just weird, man. It gives me the creeps.
Yeah. I do say, though, I would love to see one of Miami's defensive ends in Detroit this year. Yeah. Ahmed Moten or Reuben Bain. Those two, they dominated Ohio State. Not just they played well, they dominated Ohio State.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep an eye on them. And then, of course, look, Nick Saban is not coaching a team, but it's incredible. Is it all four head coaches left in the playoff or were part of his coaching tree?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So that's incredible. But yeah, man, I love Cignetti. I think he's kind of like Mendoza a little bit too. I think he turns it on a little bit. I think he turns the curmudgeon thing on a little bit, but so we'll see. And, I guess we'll probably be back not too long from now. In the meantime, thanks for listening.